double take, critical, sometimes confrontational, but always amusing conversations about movies. Double Take is a cinema classics podcast produced by John DeSando.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Double Take. And this is the time of year when we can, whether you like it or not, we're going to have to look back at 2022 and maybe the ones that most impressed us, and at the same time think about the Golden Globes. They're the first organization to come out with the best of the nominations.
The Golden Globes nominations are out, and they are sometimes a good indicator of future nominations, and they're worth paying attention to.
Yeah, all right. So we're not going to rank them this time because we're going to wait till we get the Oscar nominations and then do our own ranking at
That's
the same
right.
time. So
That's
right, right now, we're just throwing out there movies that impressed us over the year.
And what an interesting year this has been. Going into the awards season here, it's been a year where we've had a lot of very angry movies. That's the first thing that stands out to me, is there's been a lot of mean movies. I'm thinking in terms of The Menu and Banshees of Inisherin and Triangle of Sadness. And even Avatar has kind of a mean side to it.
Well, yes. I think the films are most impressive when they are angry, and they're the ones that I like the best, the dark ones. But I will go with a comedy like your Babylon.
My goodness. So as we...
I say your Babylon,
my Babylon.
You liked it better than I did.
I absolutely loved it. It's definitely become my favorite film of the year. Babylon is such a wonderful film for anyone who's worked in the industry, because it really does reward you for what you know, and it makes you feel really good about yourself, too, because it shows that you're standing on the shoulders of giants who were making movies in a very guerrilla style back in the 1920s, out in the desert, three movies being made simultaneously, cameras getting destroyed, people getting killed just for the sake of the art.
Well, I had to get over the first few minutes when you had an elephant pooping on a worker. and I thought Chazelle was going for a lot of style, which he has and he shows here.
Well, and we wondered what was going on with this movie, because the it didn't get previewed at any of the film festivals in the summer, which is usually not a good sign. Usually that means the studio's lost faith in the movie. It's not going to live up to expectations. So we figured, Babylon's going to be a nice little Brad Pitt piece that's not going to be very important.
Once upon a time in Hollywood on steroids.
Oh, my gosh. Then the movie comes out, but we found out that Damien Chazelle had just been re-editing the movie all through the fall. He was still editing that movie practically up to Thanksgiving.
Well, you know, you and I have a favorable attitude toward it. I love Hollywood. I love how Hollywood when it navel gazes, and, I get a big kick out of it. I thought the section on the transition between the silent and the talkies was very good. I would say any film student would want to look at that to see the chaos of trying to sync.
It does a great job of taking you there and having you experience what it must have been like to make movies at that time period when it was nothing like you have today. You see Bel Air in the beginning of the movie, and it's a bunch of orchards with one house.
Well, you know, it is listed as in the Golden Globes as Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy nominee. So I think that's appropriate.
I'm more inclined to put it in with the non-comedies, but
The drama,
The dramas. Because I think the movie did start out as a comedy, and from what is coming out of Hollywood, he trimmed most of the humor out of the movie before it was released.
All right. On the other end of the spectrum, all right?
Okay.
A film you and I both loved before anybody else knew about it. The Banshees.
Banshees of Inisherin.
And we reviewed that and we loved it. And I told you when you were correct and I was wrong, nobody would pay attention to it. It was so good a film. And I said, my fellow Americans will not like it. And it's up there with all of them.
Well, the performances are so strong in that movie. You've got three really, really strong performances in that film that I think are going to carry it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, you can't ignore this year. Let me say that is listed, again, under the comedy. on the, which is a bit of a stretch, although if you take it the right way, it could be comic.
It was billed as a dark comedy, but I just don't see it as that funny.
I know. I don't either. Well, you got best friends suddenly separated with barely a reason for their, you know, the one telling the other friend to take a nosedive. I'm out of here.
I don't remember laughing at all.
No, I don't. I do not either, except Colin Farrell now and then. Yeah, you know, he's a little bit out of it.
And Barry Keoghan maybe once or twice. Right. I might have been laughing at his shifting accent.
But anyway, I would like to tackle with you one that was one of my favorites of the year. See what you thought about The Fabelmans.
The Fabelmans. Okay. The Fabelmans is Spielberg's love letter to his growing up and his experiences, and trying to help us understand what shaped the person that would become Steven Spielberg. Now, if you put Fabelmans back to back with Babylon, Fabelmans becomes
Avatar.
Babylon.
Said Avalon, very good.
Oh, Babylon.
The combination of Avatar and Babylon.
Babylon,
nice.
There you go. We got them both covered now. The underwater version of Babylon. But if you were to put Fabelmans back to back with Babylon, Fabelmans becomes little more than a home movie. It's a wonderfully done home movie, but it's not that spectacular. It's a biopic. It's a very intimate story.
It is, yeah.
I think Spielberg is likely to get the nomination. He got the nomination for Best Director.
Yeah.
But I don't see the movie really, other than director, I don't see it carrying much weight.
No, and I think you're right. Now, somewhere in here, Ken, and it's listed under Best Motion Picture Drama, Top Gun. How do you figure that one?
The Golden Globes are notorious for being much more forgiving of action films and movies that make a lot of money. So you're going to see a film like Top Gun and Avatar get nominated in the Golden Globes, but you're not going to see those nominations continue.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I just adored Fabelmans because I could hear him throughout the film, and I could hear. The moments of love from a child as he discovers film. And I suspect it could have starred right in that.
I wish I had actually heard him in the movie. I think that movie would have benefited from a narration.
Good. Yes. You suggested that before, and I think you're right. It would have helped a lot. All right, now here's one, Ken, that I can't figure. I think it may have one nomination among the Golden Globes, and this is called Till.
Oh, the movie about Emmett Till.
Yeah, and I don't think you saw it.
I did see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't understand. I thought it was a better film than people are giving credit for it.
I would agree. It is a better film than people are giving credit for it. There were some great performances. The mother's performance was absolutely
And she's not even
fantastic.
Nominated.
She's not even nominated.
Wow.
And it got overlooked, and I'm not sure why. It didn't do well in theaters. It didn't make much money, but it should not have been overlooked.
No. There's a formula, it seems like to me, that it follows. And maybe that could be the reason. The people aren't seeing anything new, even though historically it's accurate about Emmett Till. But, I mean, there's something about it that didn't...
It's not the first movie made about the Till story. I believe it was done as a TV movie a couple times. Yeah. But also, this is not the first time that Elvis movie has been made, and yet we've got Elvis nominated.
And he is nominated for Best Actor.
He is nominated for Best Actor. The movie is nominated for Best Film. Whether this is going to carry any attraction into the awards, I don't know. I would say it's towards the back of the pack.
Austin Butler did a terrific job as Elvis.
Yeah, he did a terrific job.
And there are some people who stayed away from that, too. So, I think the men category is weak this year. Okay, I don't see... I love Colin Farrell and Brendan, but I still don't... Yeah, I don't see that kind of role that says... The way I think in the females.
Up until 2 weeks ago, I would have said that this year's awards ceremonies are going to be about as interesting as a Lions-Browns game. Somebody is going to win, but is it really going to matter? But then I think 2 weeks ago when Babylon came out, that really, okay. Now we've got ourselves like real competition. Because now you've got Margot Robbie going head-to-head with Cate Blanchett.
Yes.
And Cate Blanchett was a front runner by far before Babylon came out.
Still think she's going to get it.
But it's a knockdown dragout because you've got Margot Robbie, who is a younger, very physical actress who can cross the line between comedy and drama effortlessly. And then you've got Cate Blanchett, who did this amazing performance in that classroom that just stole, you know, the film. And now we've got two actresses really duking it out. And I'm so happy to see that. I really like a good competition.
And Cate is going for her third Oscar. And the film is called Tar.
Tar,
right.
Yes.
This isn't the reason she's going to get it, but she did learn German for this role.
Yeah.
How do you learn German, except over several years? I mean, how possible is it?
Well, if people have learned Klingon, so if you can do that, I suppose you can learn German.
All right, so let's look again. Throw something out there. Tell you. Yeah, here I go, Elizabeth. But I want to throw one out to you. I don't even know if you've seen it. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
Oh gosh, yes! I saw that when it first came out. What was it? January? It seems like forever ago.
It was ago.
And this is the film that's going to be the big outlier for the award season. Is how much impact can a movie that came out that long ago, have on the awards? Because typically, your winners are films that get released October, November, December.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's happened with that film is it's developed a cult following.
Yes.
And that cult following apparently is very strong in Hollywood as well. So we've got Jamie Lee Curtis in there with a nomination.
Yes.
We've got Kehu Kwan in there with a nomination.
Yes.
Who, of course, we remember from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. And we've got the directors are nominated. The movie is nominated. So it will be interesting to see whether a film from January has enough traction.
And a film with so much of an international cachet,
yes.
Whether that's going to strike my fellow Americans, I don't know.
A very niche movie. It's
yeah,
a very niche market movie, but it was still playing in theaters until July.
I know. But there are always surprises like Moonlight.
Oh, yeah, and Coda.
Yeah, and Coda, right.
And nobody had seen Coda, and it wins the Academy Award.
But when it came for it, I said, it's got it. It had all the sentiment that Hollywood just loved.
Oscars was an easier call last year. This year, it's all over.
All right. So we're not talking Oscars. Look at the two of us.
No.
We can't keep ourselves from mentioning
them. That's the big one. How do you – it's like going to a local horse race and not talking about the Triple Crown.
And you know what, Ken? In what profession do you get people celebrating themselves as much as this one? And that's why you like Babylon, because they're just over the top in their self-celebration.
Babylon is, I know it's a very polarizing film. I know people either love it or hate
it.
But I can tell you that having worked in the industry, when you go, that last 5 minutes of the movie, when he's sitting in the movie theater and you see the montage of all the films that were yet to come, these films are all resting on the shoulders of these people in the 1920s making these silent movies under just incredible circumstances. You wouldn't have the Hollywood that we have today if it weren't for those people. And that's what Babylon does so well.
I think maybe in the Golden Globes, Woman King is mentioned. Forgotten. It is?
Yeah, she's nominated for Best
Actress.
Viola Davis is nominated for Best Actress.
Because I think that would be bad for them to ignore that, which I thought was a brilliant film and one that I don't usually put at the top of my category.
It was a terrific film.
Yeah, and and Wakanda.
This is going to be a great year for Marvel Studios.
Yeah.
This could be the year when Marvel Studios wins its first acting award.
Yes.
And I think it's likely to. I think Angela Bassett is going to probably be the front runner for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, well, you're probably right, although I thought she was more like a statue in that. We were bowing to her.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you about one I know you liked, and very similar to Babylon, I like, but not as much as you, Avatar.
Avatar I liked a lot. Not as much as I had hoped.
Where's your disappointment?
Okay, my disappointment is with the story.
And
Cameron is the master of sequels. This is the man who brought us Aliens, he which expanded the universe, took it in a completely different direction. They're totally different movies, but they're both equally good.
Yeah.
Then he did T2, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, which expanded on the original Terminator and is equally good, if not better, than the first Terminator. So you would think this person with this track record of great sequels would have a fantastic sequel to Avatar, his first one, planning out that he's going to be making five of these movies. But what he did is basically rehash Avatar. Cameron is also a huge fan of military tech. All of the equipment in his movies have to look like they could actually work, and why they work that way. So where was Jake Sully during these 12 years? Why was he not building up planetary defenses? Why wasn't he uniting the tribes of Pandora?
He was building a family.
He was sitting around having a family and watching the stars and doing nothing. And that makes no sense for a Marine who knows the enemy is coming back not to take that time and use it to unite Pandora and get that equipment that they left behind and build up a defense so they were ready for them. So right off the bat in the first 10 minutes of the movie, I'm my head is in my palm going, James, what were you thinking?
Well, and also we're practically drowning in his water. This guy is obsessed with water.
Yeah.
Way back to The Abyss.
The Abyss, one of my favorite movies. One of my, as long as you're watching the director's cut. The director's cut is totally different from the original theatrical. Yeah. But yes, he has been a huge fan of scuba diving, undersea diving. He's dived the Titanic multiple times.
Yes.
And he's also brought some of the cast members down to the Titanic. So this is a guy who is obsessed with undersea. So it made sense that Avatar 2 would be set underwater. And he does a beautiful job. The universe is amazing. Folks, see this movie on an IMAX 3D.
I didn't see it on 3D because it distracts me.
Okay. Well, then at least see it on IMAX.
Because
it'll never look the same on TV.
No, and he's brilliant. And in fact, he built a huge pool to do all of the underwater stuff, which he then layers over with his stop motion or whatever you call it, whatever he does with his characters.
Oh, motion capture.
Yeah, motion capture. And it turns out most of that is CGI when you think he's really using water, but then he is putting his magic on that.
And this is why it took 12 years for the sequel to come out. It was not because he was doing other things. He hasn't done anything. It wasn't because he hadn't wanted to do a sequel. He was waiting for the technology to reach the point where he could put his vision onto the screen, and it took 12 years for it to get there. And he also cast people on their ability to hold their breath.
Of which we know who won.
Guess who won? Kate Winslet.
I know. She held her breath longer than anybody else.
6 minutes. Yes.
All right. Now, here's a question for you. In the Golden Globes, which, although superficial by comparison with the Oscars, is still an important place along the road to excellence. What happened to Nope in the Golden Globes? Did you see Nope?
I did see. We actually did know.
Yeah.
And I am not surprised it's not there. I think compared to the competition, it was not going to hold
up.
Yeah. There was no performance in it that really stood out. And
Too quirky, do you think?
A little too quirky. My argument with the film was that he does not know how to build a character arc.
Okay.
So his characters, from the opening minute of the movie to the closing minute of the movie, his character is exactly the same.
You're right, yeah.
What is surprising, though, is to see Avatar on the Golden Globes list for Best Picture for a drama.
Yeah.
And this is a question that's going to become more relevant as time goes on, is at what point does a CGI movie rate as a movie or as animation? And when do you start giving awards for best CGI performance?
Yeah, you're right. You know,
and do you give those as a performance in an animated movie, which we don't have that category yet, or do you give it as a separate performance, best motion capture performance? Because I think this is coming.
Okay.
I think eventually, within the next few years, the Academy and the Golden Globes are going to have to address movies that are pure CGI and either say, this is an animated movie, it falls in with the animated categories, or we're going to create our own category for it, separate and apart.
And in another category, I just would like to comment that in the Best Director nominations for Golden Globes, there are no women.
Yes. This now, whether this holds true for the Oscars or not is a different matter. But this is an issue.
And this was the Golden Globes this a couple of years ago going through all this trash.
Well, it was last year. Yeah. They didn't even get aired on television because it was found out that they had no people of color among their voters. And this was a scandal, and they did not get aired.
I think there's 80 voters. Yeah. This is the Foreign Press Club.
Yeah.
And they had no... That's incredible.
They had not a single person of color. Now, in the last year, they've diversified. I believe they have 15 or 17 people of color. Yes. They've added a few more women to the voting. But it is a scandal that they're trying to move on from. But the Golden Globes are also known as the boozier, a little more lighthearted.
They're more Babylon type.
They're a great show for the tabloid press, and they're a terrible show for the publicists who spend the next few days retracting comments that were made by inebriated actors.
What a movie that I came onto recently. White Noise.
Yes.
And which I thought was a good film, and Adam Driver is listed as one of the best actor nominees. What did you think?
I liked White Noise a lot.
Yeah.
I thought that the film was very effective. I thought Adam Driver was very, very good. I thought Greta Gerwig was very good. And I also love Rafferty Cassidy in that film.
All right. Tell me.
She was the older daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we've seen her in, we saw her last in The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Okay.
She was the daughter in that. Yeah. And then before that, we saw her first with George Clooney in Tomorrowland.
Oh, good.
And she caught my attention then.
That's right, yeah. Now, one that I like in the nominations for Best Actor is Ralph Fiennes in The Menu. Yeah. This guy is devastating.
Well, Ralph Fiennes can do no wrong.
I
mean, my goodness, we're talking about the fellow from Schindler's List. You know, he is just a phenomenal actor. Now, with the passing of Alan Rickman, he's risen right up to the top of the great character actors alive today.
What about Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell is probably the front runner right now.
Oh, good. All right. Actor. You think so? Yeah.
It's going to be a knockdown drag out between Colin Farrell and Brendan Fraser in The Whale, which we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, and they don't list at the Globes because probably so late, right? No?
Is he not listed in the Globes?
He's not.
No, he's
as
not.
As far
okay.
as I can tell.
My anticipation is that when it comes time, the final thing is going to – well, in the Golden Globes, yes, it's going to be Colin Fraser. But down the road, it's going to be Colin Fraser versus
–
Colin Farrell, rather, versus Brendan Fraser.
Oh, okay, good.
These are the two that are going to be knocking at each other out for the big prize.
Now, one where I don't think he'll be nominated in the Oscars – would be he's listed on here as Daniel Craig for Glass Onion.
Yeah, no.
I know. Where do they get that? I don't think that's a great acting piece. He's just having fun.
Yeah. No, and again, the Golden Globes, because they have more categories and a broader list of nominees, they can include people like that. They can include movies like Maverick and movies like Avatar that are not going to make the cut further down the road.
Yeah. An actress I love who will not beat Cate Blanchett is Olivia Colman.
What a terrific performance. And what a great film.
Empire
if you haven't seen Empire of Light, go out and see this movie. It is a touching film. And Olivia Colman gives such a great performance of a emotionally challenged, emotionally damaged person. Everybody in the film
is fantastic. It's a companion piece to Babylon. In the sense that they're both about the industry, but this one goes inside a motion picture theater, 1980s.
Early 1980s in England, so we get to see some of the troubles with the skinheads and the racial issues that were going on. It's a nice little piece taken out of history of England in the early 1980s.
And Ken, when you cast Toby Jones as the... how would we call it? The person who shows the films.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. The projectionist.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, whatever. Well, everybody in that movie is fantastic, from the smallest little role. The fellow who's running the theater is
Colin Firth.
Colin Firth, yes. Everybody gives
And you're going to be disappointed, ladies, in Firth. Not only has he aged, he's a scumbag in this movie.
Yes, he is. But he can play that just as well.
He is very good. Yeah, Empire of Light. It's passed through Columbus, actually. And I think it's gone now, if I can believe it.
It's still playing at the Drexel.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Drexel's going to be carrying
your
it.
Your old Drexel, man. He's reliable.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay.
So that was also where I had to see White Noise, because White Noise did not get a wide release.
And that'll be on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's coming on Netflix. It's an A24. Those people are incredible. A24, the production company.
Yeah, A24 is a fantastic production. I mean,
they did Moonlight. They did The Lighthouse.
They've gone a long string of top award-winning films.
Right, yeah. I know.
And thankfully, they put them in theaters, as opposed to Glass Onion, which got a one-week theatrical run and then was pulled before anybody had a chance to release it.
Which is going streaming, though, right?
It went straight to streaming at the end of its first week.
Yeah. All right, Ken, look at this is it for us. We're just blathering on and on, and it appears that we haven't even stopped. Give me again, you're so good at this. For the year, what do you think, as a year of films? Just really give me a meta view of it.
Okay, so the year 2022 has been a year of I would say, angry movies, mean movies, movies that seem to be a reaction to the pandemic, to the shutdowns. Not a lot of humor, but it's been a great year for a couple of films, and the year is wrapping up beautifully with Babylon. I was so impressed with Babylon.
Yeah.
But going back further in the year, you had some great films of the summer. Maverick, of course, terrific, fun summer film. You had
Tar.
What a terrific film. And Tar, don't be surprised if Tar ends up beating Babylon as we get into the awards.
Oh, yes, Ken. I know how you love Babylon.
Love Babylon, but I think Tar is still in the fight.
I'm a little bit hesitant because you predicted from the get-go the Banshees of Innisfarin, and I loved it but didn't think it had a chance, and you did, and you're right. I'm hoping. Anyway.
Colin Farrell, I think, is still the front runner for Best Actor. Brad Pitt, I would say, is now the front runner for Best Supporting Actor.
Right.
And Margot Robbie and Kate Blanchett are going to be duking it out to the end and just flip a coin on those two.
Oh, very good.